all over the news lately, they've been talking about wilderness therapy for teenagers.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm not really that familiar with it. I had one friend that I know did something like this because she was a troubled teen.
That's right.
She's as straight as can be. She never, ever talks about it.
I don't know what they call it now, but back in the day when I was growing up, they called this Outward Bound or something like that.
Well, all I could think of is like Scared Straight when they used to bring like the prisoners from jail to come talk to us at school.
Oh, I'll let you tell me everything that you think and then I'll tell you about my experience.
Okay, so I was reading all about this because I was fascinated because I can't believe so many of these facilities exist, and they do. They're like in every state and there's lots of them. And then I started watching the pitch videos. And this is what they make it sound like.
Each of the students is given this huge food pack, which is about 15 to 20 pounds, depending on the time of year. So we've got all of these ingredients where they can come through and make this stuff from scratch. So it's really almost like being in like grandma's outdoor kitchen.
It's nothing like being in grandma's outdoor kitchen. Grandma cooks for you and gives you cookies. You are dirty, going to the bathroom in a hole in the wilderness, and you have to make your own food.
My experience was climbing. I mean, you were hiking for hours. You were backpacking all the stuff in. You had to cross streams, creeks. They were freezing cold. You were rappelling. And by the way, most of the other people in your troop were kids that you were getting in trouble with at your school too, but you hated them. They weren't your friends. They were like, you know, the other cliques people. Mm. You had like a bag of rice and one dirty pan.
I can't believe you got sent to wilderness therapy. Did you have to go stay there? Because these people, like, I'm reading all these articles, and I guess there's a bunch of documentaries that are being released about it that talks about how terrible they are, most of these places.
You do a week or a long weekend or whatever. Yeah, there was all sorts of different programs, and I had a lot of friends that went through it. I had to do two overnights, yeah, and it was not fun.
Who sends you? Your parents sent you or the school sent you?
It's like the thing where the school talks, and you know, maybe if there's like a school safety officer liaison, that type of thing, or if you've had other conversations with the police.
Okay. Okay, do you think that it worked? Do you think that Scared Straight wilderness therapy worked?
Well, I mean, if you do a couple overnights at your local county jail or anything like that, I think it will probably have the same effect on you. Certain things, you know, when you're involved in them, you don't want to go back. If you think that there's a way that you can avoid it, then chances are you're still going to misbehave some other place, some other time.
What do you think was the best way, like the best type of discipline that worked for you growing up?
You know, it makes me sound like a child, but even as you get older, take things away. Cost me things, cost me money, cost me time. You know, the older you get, the more aware that you are of that. You know what? Wait a minute. Timing is everything.
I try to think back like when I was a kid and the discipline I would have. And, you know, growing up with very strict Italian parents who were from Italy and didn't understand a lot of the American norms,
which is don't beat me over the head.
Oh, we would just get hit all the time. Like, you know, it's like you don't even talk about that anymore. I can't even imagine like raising a hand to my children, but we would get hit with the belt like it was like a Tuesday at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, like it was nothing.
Wooden spoon in my house.
I mean, to this day, if somebody gets too close to my face, I still flinch at this point. I mean, we laugh, but it's terrible. But I would think the one thing that always got me the worst was because I was never allowed to do anything. So if you wanted to punish me, I couldn't go out when all my other friends were going out and doing things.
Nah.
And I'll stick with that with my kids versus the belt.
Or a bag of rice and dropping them off in a field somewhere?
Definitely.
He's the keeper of the castle.
He didn't weed whack the lawn all summer.
He's a caring dog dad.
The dog hasn't been out since 2 o'clock.
He's the romance king.
We haven't been on a date in 6 months.
It's time for Raven's report card.
Every week we check in with Raven's wife, Alicia, to see how he's been behaving as a husband. Alicia.
Hello.
How are you feeling after having the flu for a week?
Oh my gosh, I think I had the flu and COVID and a sinus infection and bronchitis all together. Like, it was awful, Anna.
Yeah, the triple-demic thing is a serious thing right now.
I mean,
now.
You can't just say that out loud, right? Because then somebody's going to require some sort of test somewhere or whatever. She did not have COVID. She did not have that.
Oh, it's been 10 days. I'm in the clear anyways, so.
But you feel better now?
I do feel much better now. I'm not 100%, but, you know, I feel better. I'm a week behind on everything, but... Yeah, yeah,
that's a real thing. It's a hard time during the holidays when you have so much to do and it's like crunch time, right?
Yeah, it's terrible. We're having a Christmas party tomorrow and I have about a million things. I don't think I'm sleeping tonight.
Can you explain to me? So now I know that in the past, you and Raven have returned couches. You have returned Christmas trees that you have deemed to be inappropriate for your house. But Raven keeps talking about your obsession with returning and replacing stools. What's up with the stools?
Oh, no. Why'd you
no,
bring this up?
We're not returning and replacing stools. We ordered stools that were supposed to be, the headline said they were a certain inches. They came in and they were nearly 3 inches taller. They were too tall
yeah.
for where they were supposed to go. So we had to return them.
We discovered
and
this.
Now we ordered another set.
After we built the stools. You know, I mean, we have stools all over the place. We got stools upstairs. We got stools in the kitchen. We got stools downstairs at the bar. We got stools at the video games. We got stools outside of the patio. And we got stools all over the place. I honestly, I've never encountered a house that had so many stools before in its life.
I don't have a single stool in my house.
See that?
Yeah.
It's crazy, right? Your house has none. I have at least 20.
It's a lot of stools.
I walk into rooms that I haven't been into in 6 to 9 months and discover stools in there.
How many rooms do you have in your house that you haven't been in?
I mean, when the kid
months?
Moved out, like there's a couple rooms that just, you know, there's like a room or two that's just hers. I walk in there and there's a stack of stools. I didn't even know we owned them anymore.
Are you collecting stools, Alicia?
But this isn't even true. There's stools that go to the video games. There's stools that go to the bar. Then there's two that go to the kitchen island. And then we have this other, like, island. It's not an island, but
See?
It's like a bar area
yep.
type thing where there's stools there. Like, yeah. It makes sense.
47 mm-hmm. stools in my house. You heard her.
Yep.
There are more stools on the way right now. I'm actually waiting for an update that tells me that they're
that
arriving at the store.
The last ones were too tall,
See?
So we had to order the correct one.
Where are these stools going?
They're going. So we have this look through between the kitchen and the living room that has like this little almost like bar type ledge where we have three stools there for people to sit. And people sit there all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the stools were too tall. Like you sit there and, you know, you're almost touching the ceiling because the stools were 3 inches too tall. So we had to order the correct size. They sent us the wrong size. Not my fault.
Stoolgate.
You know what? He was halfway to an A, Anna, for taking care of me. And now he just got himself in trouble. Took it on me about stools. You're done. That's it. I'm worried for you.
I don't even know why you brought up the stools.
Yeah. I don't think I did.
Right.
I think it was a private conversation between you and myself.
Uh-huh.
And now you brought it to her.
So many stools. I don't know. Can I have some of your stools?
Yes.
I don't have any of them?
Actually, you can. I'll just drive them over here because I'm running out of space.
I have I don't care if they're 3 inches too tall. I have a shortage of stools in my house. All right. So what kind of grade would you like to give Raven for the week, Alicia?
You're both getting an F right now. Both of you.
Listen, I have nothing to do with the stools.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 What's driving you crazy right now? You can get it off your chest by calling 1-800-330-9999. You just fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. Hector.
If you bring a date to your holiday party and that date is not your wife, that's all I need to know about you.
Remember that first party we did with that one, with that dude? That worked with us? That first party, that first event we did.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
And then it's second later, like he was making out with somebody.
And we were like, that's not his wife.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it was his first thing with us.
Yeah, but he didn't bring her. He just found her.
Right. I know. We were immediately was like, oh, is that his wife? Nope, that's not his wife. What?
Yeah.
Who is that?
It was very uncomfortable. It said a lot about his short time here. But yeah, no, that's uncomfortable. I mean, you got to be really... have some courage to do something like that.
Yeah, it's good to meet you, Mrs. CFO. Oh, wait.
Wait a minute. Anita, that's all I need to know about you.
So if you're one of those women that won't wear a winter coat because you think it's going to ruin your outfit, that's all I need to know about you.
I call that 22 years old Anna. That was a different Anna in a different time going to clubs where I didn't want to do coat check and I would just freeze in my tube top and black pants and platform shoes.
I'll do it. There's a male side. There's a flip side of that coin too. The guy in the shorts when it's 30 or 40 degrees out. Listen, if you're that hot, you've got some sort of health problems.
So funny. Last weekend, I went to a Giants game, and it was a big deal. Everybody was very excited. My husband is a very big Giants fan. We went with four couples.
Yeah.
Like, the guys, it was cold. The guys were not wearing jackets. And I don't know why, because I don't know if they want, like, they wanted to proudly show off their Giants gear.
Of course, right. I got my jersey back out.
We
sucked for the past 5 years, but we're good now.
It wasn't even that cold, to be honest, but the wives, me and my girlfriends, we all looked like it was the coldest day in the North Pole, you know? Not them. They were in t-shirts.
Yeah. They probably had brandy in their pocket.
Oh, they definitely had brandy in their pocket. Nancy, that's all I need to know about you.
If you force your husband to wear matching clothes at Christmas, that's all I need to know about you.
What if it's just the color scheme? Not the exact same outfit, but we're all going to wear the same tones of maroon. Is that all right?
That's pushing it.
I definitely bought my husband and I matching cashmere maroon sweaters this year.
When I see like everybody in the same color, I think automatically of The Sound of Music where they made all the clothes out of the drapes. Immediately. You know what I mean? We're getting rid of these old curtains. We're shaking them out. Oh, well, I've got an idea for those. Splendid. And then everybody's singing and dancing in the hills.
I love matching outfits. I know it sounds terrible, but like matching pajamas when we all color coordinate. It's like, this is my team right here. This is Team Zap. Me, my husband, and my kids. And this is how we roll. All together, all matching. I guess it is kind of pathetic.
Ho, 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 ho! There sure are a lot of kids on the naughty list this year. Let's check Anna and Raven's Santa tip line.
Santa needs to know who's been naughty and who's been nice. So, that's where we come in. You can call the Santa tip line 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and you make your report, leave a message. The phone number is 833-431-0905.
Hello, Santa. I'm Olivia, and 3 years ago, you sent Anna to my school, Fox Run, and made my wish come true. Here's my mom singing to Santa.
Hello, Santa. I heard you're coming to town to bring presents to all the kids around the world on time. Oh, Santa, I pray for peace and unity for all the world to see. Oh, thank you, Santa. Merry Christmas.
You're going to Hollywood.
That was really nice.
It was nice.
I like when they make it like American Idol where they're auditioning on the Santa tip line.
It's nice that you react to it positively because sometimes when people like are around people that always like to break into song, they're always weirded out by it. They're like, not again. Why, Mom? Here? Why?
Everybody knows that one person that no matter what, they will just bust out a song. Like they'll hear a word and it'll trigger like a song in their head.
That's the thing, too. When Mom starts singing, I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute. So is Mom going to go into a song? No, she's not. She's just singing about what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I do that all the time. I sing about like when I'm cleaning around the house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember when Olivia, 3 years ago, Olivia on the Santa tip line, she said, all I want for Christmas is for Anna to show up at my school. And I did. Unfortunately, I won't be able to travel this year, but that was very sweet and that was very nice.
Santa, I'm really sorry for eating a marble, and I didn't mean to be a bad boy. Happy Christmas.
I'm not sure if he ate a marble or a Marlboro.
No, I think he ate a marble. I think it makes much more sense that he ate a marble. He didn't mean to be a bad boy, but he ate the marble.
Yeah.
Okay. Also, the Santa tip line, the Santa confessional.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I just, you know, I hope it all worked out for him.
Well, he's calling, so I'm going to say that's a really good sign.
What's up? My dad is being really bad. He's always late to work. I think my Aunt Carla, she's been doing very good. She drives me to school, my parents' camp. And my brother, he gets half the presents. And my mama, she gets good presents. And my sister, she gets nothing. She just had her birthday. That was sweet.
I mean, I'm just going to go on a limb here and say I don't think dad is giving you any presents, though. I mean,
wait a minute. First
calling
of all,
Santa and narking out your dad for being late to work. Thanks a lot. I hope the boss isn't listening.
When the first words out of his mouth were like, what's up, Santa?
Santa, what's up?
What's up? I was like, here we go.
What's up?
And like it's like his sister's fault that her birthday is close to Christmas, that she doesn't get more presents because she has got presents. That's so sad.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how this is going to go. But either way, it was a full report.
Yeah. All right. Listen, if you would like to call the Santa tip line, it is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The clock is ticking. It's 833-431-0905.
Anna and Raven's hell of a story.
Everybody has a hell of a story that whenever you tell it, people are like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that happened to you. And we want to hear your story. It's your turn to be the storyteller. You can head to annaandraven.com. Kim, you have a hell of a story.
Yes, I do. In 2013, I was at work and I accidentally hit my knee pretty hard on my desk. And I had been working for an orthopedic doctor at that time. So my knee was killing me. I went for an x-ray and it was negative and they didn't see anything like out of the ordinary. The next day, my knee was still really bothering me. So my doctor decided to send me for an MRI just to make sure that I didn't have a tear. I went for the MRI the next day. And by the time I got back to the office, the radiologist was on the phone with my doctor already. He said that I needed to go see an oncologist right away, as to he saw a tremendous amount of bone marrow in my bones in my leg and thought maybe I should see the oncologist, thinking that I probably had cancer. Well, unfortunately, the next day I went to the oncologist and he read the report and he was pretty sure that I did have leukemia. He had made some phone calls and I went through a huge amount of testing to confirm that I had the leukemia. By the next week, I started chemotherapy and was in Stony Brook for well over a year in and out. From 2013 to 2016, I had gone into remission a few times, but then somehow it always came back. So I spent a lot of time getting more chemo and radiation. Unfortunately, I was re-diagnosed again in 2017. I had to go through more chemo and radiation, but I was told I had to have a bone marrow transplant in order to save my life. So in February of 18, I had the transplant, and my brother was a perfect match, which he honestly saved my life. In February, I will be 5 years out from the transplant, and I will be cancer-free, and I am cancer-free now.
Oh, right.
So God is definitely watching over me. Yeah, he was definitely watching over me. I mean, if I didn't hit my knee, I would not have known until things have gotten a lot worse. But the weird part is that I had surgery in February of 2013 before this diagnosis, and it was never picked up on my blood work or anything that I even had this leukemia. It's crazy, but I'll tell you, I live every day like it's my last because you never really know what can happen. It was a miserable bunch of years that, you know, with chemo and radiation, it was horrible.
It's amazing to me how we learn to live with different, you know, discomforts or pains or everything throughout the day. And I mean, you know, you had an ache in your leg, as you said. I mean, my leg has been killing me for the past 3 weeks. My arm has been killing me for about the past 2 months. But I chalk it up to something else, of course, right? And because when you go and you see your doctor, you think that they're going to catch it. Like every doctor should catch everything. That's what we think in our head, right? But unless, you know, you're really focused on something, the situation could be right in front of your face and you don't even recognize it. How fortunate that that transpired.
Correct.
What did your brother say when he found out he was a donor? Because I feel like my brother would obviously, you know, do anything he could to help me and save me. But he would also be like, well, what are you going to give me? I'll give you this bone marrow transplant.
Oh, no.
You know, I have to say he really didn't blink an eye. He was the one that they first tested to see if we were a match. And we're 4 years apart. And he was 110% match. So I had a perfect transplant. I had no problems. And he, you know, he just said to me, I'll do whatever I need to do, you know, to help you out. And he did. And his whole family, you know, was there. And it really worked out great. It really, really did.
Well, Kim, that's a hell of a story. And we're glad you're doing all right. And if you could ever imagine that you knock your knee on a desk or something like that, and it can lead to all these things, saving your life, it's tremendous.
Yeah. I thank God every day because you never know.
Oh my gosh, I feel like I'm going to get judged right now.
Well, you are, of course. I mean, that's why you do things like this, right? Talk about them in public.
Is there something that you're embarrassed to admit that you love to do? I'm just going to say it. I love to eat fast food by myself in my car, particularly fried chicken sandwiches. Mm. Yesterday, I was a few minutes early to school pickup.
Yeah.
And I was sitting in my car with mayo dripping down my coat.
Nice.
As I shoved, and I realized that was at Burger King yesterday.
Yeah.
And I like the football ones. Not these new age ones. Like,
no, I know.
I like the long ones. That is the OG.
It's like the old chicken sandwich,
right? Why do they keep messing with chicken sandwiches? They were good the way they were. You don't have to keep adding pickles and stuff.
I mean, anyway. Yours is like ancient, the one that you like. But okay.
But I like all of them. And as I was eating it yesterday,
yeah,
I realized it was the third time this week.
Wow.
I was by myself in a fast food parking lot. Shoving a fried chicken sandwich down my throat. Now I rationalize it that I don't get the fries anymore because I'm healthy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. I'll have the large meal with a Diet Coke. Perfect.
But no fries. I don't eat the fries. I don't even order the fries, so I'm not tempted.
Okay.
But I will shove that fried chicken sandwich down my throat. And I'm like, I am so embarrassing. And here's the thing.
Yeah.
I know that it's not great for the kids a lot. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times, like if Hayden or Dakota will be like, oh, can we get this? I'll say, we have food at home.
That's right. That's right. This is when you're by yourself that mm-hmm. you're doing this, that nobody can witness it or see it.
And then you just see me in the corner of a McDonald's or a Burger King parking lot, just shoving it in my throat with the mayo hanging off my mouth.
I like to see the other person in the pickup line that's, you know, gazing into your car and like, oh, I think that's Anna. Oh my gosh, there's something embarrassing happening in that car right now.
I love it. And yeah. I'm not afraid to admit it anymore. It's fine.
You know, eating fast food by yourself is cool because there's no judgment there, too. There's nobody to say, well, you really shouldn't, mm-hmm. you know, because you've already made the decision that you are. I use the bathroom with the door open when nobody's home at my house. The dogs always come into the bathroom.
You want them to?
They always follow me into the bathroom. If I close the door, they whine at the door so that I hear them crying. And for whatever reason, that makes me anxious while I'm doing my business there. So I usually leave the door cracked. Of course, as soon as that happens, one of the dogs pushes the door wide open and they all come in and sit down.
So you're clearly not a mom because I am used to the dog sitting at my feet, my teenager standing over there asking me questions, and Dakota, who is now 4 years old, mm-hmm. sometimes will come sit on my lap.
Oh, that's the best. Like, so, you're Santa.
Right.
Like you're the Santa of the toilet. I also like to slide around on my socks like I'm ice skating.
Okay, well, that's a little bit more embarrassing.
Yeah, I do that.
What's the thing that you're embarrassed to say that you do, but you love it? 1-800-330-9999. Kristen.
I sing show tunes to my cats.
I mean, what's embarrassing about that?
Fantastic.
That is kind of great. Does your cat like them?
They love it. They love it so much. They sing along with me.
See?
Maybe that's
better.
The embarrassing part. They're so talented.
Right. The fact that you believe that you're a chorus, like a choral group or something like that, that is a little bit embarrassing, right? But the singing itself, it's kind of nice. You know, it's kind of nice.
I've seen Stranger Things and America's Got Talent. Like, there's a chance they might actually be singing and you have a great future ahead of you.
Yeah, you know what? If they all sing or they at least look like they're singing, maybe you want to consider something like that.
You go
right?
viral for stuff like that.
Or at least you have a future in carnival business.
What are you embarrassed to admit that you love to do? 1-800-330-9999. On our text line, Raven, it says, I'm embarrassed to admit that I like to play Roblox with my 8-year-old.
You know, everybody likes to feel good at something, right? Alec, what do you like to do when nobody's around?
So every day on my way home from work, I will put on music such as like Whitney Houston or Donna Summer and sing it with my whole chest, sing it as loud as I possibly can. And if someone catches me, sing it, I turn to them and I sing to them.
I love this. Do you want to hear some of the hits off of my YouTube playlist right now?
Wait till you hear this.
This is amazing. First off, the playlist, you know how YouTube like makes them for you automatically based on the stuff that you like. So this one is a Cher, Peter Cetera, After All playlist.
Mm-hmm.
On this playlist, top tracks,
yep.
Bruce Hornsby, Mandolin Rain, Stand Back from Stevie Nicks, Glory of Love, Peter Cetera, Starship, Nothing's Gonna Stop Us Now. How Can I Fall from Breathe? I mean, most people won't even know what that group is.
I don't even know what 90% of these songs are. I'm not even kidding you.
And When in Rome, The Promise. I mean, this is the best. I'm singing these full volume driving down the road.
You're a young man, Raven. What are these?
T-Pow, Heart and Soul.
Oh,
wow.
Boy. Yeah.
Richard Marx, Endless Summer Nights. This is beautiful. I love that song.
Rich, what are you embarrassed to admit that you love to do?
I spend my Saturdays, most weekends at baseball card conventions and shows at random hotels across the country.
Okay.
I mean, it's huge money.
Well, it's more of an obsession. It's just something I've been doing since I was a kid, and I go out there and I just love looking and talking to people about cards, and it's just one of those weird things. I don't know if I'll ever shake it.
Here's the thing. Given the fact that I have no hobbies like that and no spare time to spend on anything self-indulgent that people could judge me on, I think you're strange. I'm just kidding. Enjoy yourself, man. Have a great time. Is there continental breakfast? Maybe you'll see me in the lobby.
Thanks.
Bianca, what are you embarrassed to admit that you like to do?
I love sitting in my living room window, hiding behind the draperies, watching people walk by with their damn dogs, just to see if they're going to pee and poop in my yard.
Mm-hmm.
And I get enraged.
Wow. I mean, I'd have to consider your anger as a property owner and somebody that has peeped out my windows, of course, there to see what other people are doing with their dogs. I'm a responsible dog owner. On the other hand, anybody who calls it a drapery and hides behind it, I'm sorry, I can't take you all that seriously. So you'll just have to hide your rage behind the iron wall of draperies.
Mm-hmm. No, I'll let you know when I open my front door and yell your name.
Some nonsense right there.
Adam, what are you embarrassed to admit that you like to do?
I've never told anybody this, but I like to watch videos about magic. It's super lame, but I just am so curious to how they do stuff, and I don't know, I scrutinize the videos, but it's so lame. I know my friends would make big fun of me.
Wait a minute. So do you learn the tricks, or you just want to crack the code? You don't actually want to learn the tricks to do it yourself. You just want to crack the code?
Right. I just want to crack the code.
Okay.
I don't know. Some of my friends figured it out, and I'm always like, yeah. What? I don't see it. So, but I'm fascinated by it.
You're like the guy who Googles the end of the book, you know, when he reads the first page or whatever, because you just can't stand it to sit through right. The rest of it, right? You know,
I'm also one of those people.
Well, no, I know that you are.
Yeah.
I mean, I wasn't going to out you right there, but watching the video to convince yourself that magic isn't real seems like kind of a sad state of affairs if you're not trying to learn it to amuse yourself. And you're also the guy that when you see somebody do that trick from now on, you say to the person that's like, whoa, you're like, you want to know how they do it? No, no, you jerk. I don't want to know. Wow, man, you got an issue. Work it out.
It's the 12 Tasks of Christmas on the Anna and Raven Show.
The 12 Tasks of Christmas on the Anna and Raven Show. Every day we've been pulling a different task from our strange and creaky advent calendar here. Today's assignment is for Anna. She had to put on a Santa outfit and then go to our lobby and see if she could get anybody to tell her what they wanted for Christmas.
Hi.
How much luck are you going to have even finding somebody right now, right? Is there anybody even in the lobby?
Yeah, there's people here. And Tristan is coming through. Tristan, it's me, Santa Claus. Do you want to come sit on my lap and tell me what you want for Christmas? You will? Come. Here, sit on my lap.
Hi.
Tell Santa what you want for Christmas.
I want a wireless game controller.
A wireless game controller? How old are you, Tristan?
37.
Do you think that's an appropriate gift for a 37-year-old?
Yeah, because I can't be tripping over the wire.
Tristan, were you smoking? You smell like cigarettes. Earlier?
37-year-old can smoke. It's okay.
All right, Raven, I got one. Thank you, Tristan. You've been a good boy this year.
I love it that Santa asks for the gifts and then also hands out some health advice, some moral advice to him. implies that he should not smoke.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, I have to take advantage, Raven, while people are here.
Yeah.
Dana, will you sit on my lap? All right, come here, Dana. I feel like I should have had a breath mint first, but here you go. Go ahead. Tell me what you want for Christmas. Santa. I want Santa Claus. You want, like, me Santa Claus or a different Santa? Like the real Santa? Because I'm
the real Santa.
All right. Call your man up. Tell him you're up.
What's up?
Tell him I want him. Okay.
Well,
thanks, Dana.
We've had these discussions before. People that are hot for Santa, it kind of weirds me out. I'm not going to lie.
No, it's not too inappropriate, Dana, if that's how you really feel about Santa Claus. You have the right to love whoever you want.
Oh, my gosh.
It's totally cool. There's people that are really into Santa like that. That's like a whole thing. And then it made me feel slightly uncomfortable since I'm dressed as Santa.
Right.
But I'm the one telling people to sit on my lap and tell me what they want, so I guess it's my own fault.
Good point.
Oh, this person's just going to walk by me. So sit on my lap. Please sit on my lap and tell me what you want. Hi. Chris, would you like to tell Santa what you want for Christmas? Have a seat. Okay. Have a seat on Santa's lap. Okay. What would you like for Christmas?
I would love to have a
You control payroll, don't you? Just give yourself $1 million. Santa says it's okay.
To request $1 million?
Santa says okay.
It's all right.
All right.
Right. Thank you. Keith Dakin, come sit on my lap and tell Santa what you want.
Oh, my gosh.
Come sit on my lap. Everybody has said yes except for you. Thank you. Pam, do you want to sit on Santa Claus's lap and tell me what you want for Christmas? Come here. You're very little, so you fit perfectly on my lap.
Oh, Santa, you smell like cookies.
I know. It's because I ate some.
I'm really good.
Are you really going to make my wish come true this
year?
Yes.
What would you like for Christmas?
Okay, I would like a new back deck. I would like it to be with bluestone, and I would like to have a nice big archway over it so I can sit outside all the time and look at my pond.
And then I would like somebody to give me $50,000 for my daughter's wedding. And then other than that, I just want my family to be happy and healthy.
Okay, we can do all those things. You got it.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you,
Sam. You're welcome.
Did she say...
Raven, how are you going to make all these dreams come true?
Did she say $20,000 for her daughter's wedding and a stone archway in her back patio?
She would like $50,000 for her daughter's wedding, and she would also like a new bluestone back patio, right, so she could sit on it and look at her beautiful pond.
Yeah. I thought she requested an archway, too.
I don't know how we're
going to
make this come true.
That's a lot of money.
Do you want an archway? No, she didn't want an archway. It's a gazebo. I mean, that's not unreasonable. I feel like we should be able to make that come true somehow.
Yeah.
It's time for Mommy's Margarita Friday.
Come to Mama.
Anna and Raven.
It's not easy to be in charge, whether you're in charge of your own children, students, animals. And that's why when you get to Friday, it's time to party. What did you do this week that earned you a margarita tonight? 1-800-330-9999.
Hey, Celeste, what'd you do this week to earn your margarita?
I had to deal with three people in my house with the flu.
Oh, gosh. It's disgusting, right? It's just a never-ending cycle of cleaning up after things, watching what you touch, washing sheets. Everybody's on medication. And forget it. You couldn't even get medication over the last couple weeks. It was so... Nobody had it.
Couldn't even get a doctor's appointment.
No, I know.
Couldn't even get into a walk-in. Went to the emergency. Had 60 people in front of us.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I actually... My sister just texted me last night and said, go pick up all the children's Tylenol and Motrin because there's a shortage. And I was like, oh, gosh, I can't. It's like one thing to deal with your kids when they're sick. But if I don't even have the medicine to give them, it's going to be a mad dash today to go pick that up.
Well, congratulations. You earned it.
Thank you. I think I have two.
Yeah. Enjoy those margaritas.
Hey, Gina.
Okay, I have my 3-year-old son like a chocolate pudding cup, and I left the room for literally 2 minutes. He covered my living room. It's like finger paint all over my white walls. I cannot get it off. I think I'm going to have to repaint. In fairness to him, he has a finger painting set, and the cups of finger paint do look like very similar to the pudding cups. I need my margarita for sure.
Forget about fairness when you're talking about having to repaint. Kids.
My walls desperately... are sad, and little by little repainting all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I almost feel like I need to put a timeout on that until Dakota's a little bit older, because I mean, there's certain rooms like the family room where I don't even look at the walls because it makes me so upset. You
sure.
know? And you know what else is a major issue up my walls lately? Did your dog do this? When my dog goes down the stairs, she drags her body along the walls. And now you see it's like a body stain going down, like the same spot.
So my dogs don't do it, but I have. Well, there actually is one spot on the stairs where he just kind of sits. But yeah, look at that. It like rubs off the paint a little bit.
What is that?
Yeah.
It's like dog gunk skin.
It's dog
so weird.
DNA.
Yeah.
Right. Oil on your door. Right. We used to have that from the cats too, big time. Yep.
Yeah. Enjoy your margarita. You deserved it.
Thank you,
David. What'd you do this week during your margarita?
Oh, my 12-year-old son had a science project due, and he left at the last minute. He wanted to do a science project on mold and didn't really leave time for, you know, that to happen. So, you know, dad of the year here, I came up with his science project for him, and you know, I think he got an A is what I heard. So, yes.
So you did your child's science project, and now you want a margarita?
Yeah.
Wow.
He got an A. Yeah. I came up with it overnight. Air compression.
What grade is your son in?
6.
Oh, congratulations.
You did it. Right. You did it.
All right.
You got an A for your son.
I toast to you.
Oh, gosh. I don't even try with the projects anymore. My older daughter is 13. I do not understand the things that she has to do.
Mm.
They are so smart now. I don't know if I was just extra dumb when I was a kid or because I'm out of practice because I've been out of school for a long time. Her projects and her schoolwork is so difficult that I can't even help her anymore.
You know, the validation is real. We're laughing at you. But if I passed it and got an A, I'd feel pretty good about it.
Mm-hmm.
Gold star for me.
Yep.
In this case, golden margarita.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and then it's up to you to decide who's right. Jerry and Heather. Heather, let's start with you. What's going on?
Hey, so essentially my mother passed away last year, and my sister and I were finally like going through all of her stuff, all her personal items. And I didn't know this at the time, but my sister took my mother's engagement ring and gave it to her son, which I'm really not that cool with. Like, her son is the oldest grandchild, and she thinks that he should have it, but I have the only daughter, so I thought she should have it because it's the only female grandchild. And, like, I'm stewing on it. The anger is growing, but my husband says I should just let it go. Like, it's not worth damaging the relationship with my sister.
Sherry, why do you even want to get involved in this?
Why do I want to get involved in this?
Yeah.
I don't want to get involved in this. Exactly the point. You know, I don't want Heather to get involved in this. I feel like they're sisters, and, you know, this is obviously, the ring's an important thing, but don't let it come between them. Don't let it damage the relationship. It just seems to me like, you know, if she brings it up, especially with the anger that she's been having about it, it's not going to be a good scene. And I don't know. Our daughter's so young. Like, this is, you know, who knows if she'll ever even get engaged. Like, it just seems like something we should just let go.
You know, I have a question. Is, like, the son getting ready to get married? Is he grown? Is this a situation where it's going to happen right away?
No, they're all young.
Yeah.
I think it's just a matter of who gets grandma's wedding ring. I don't think it's such a matter of who's getting engaged, who's going to use it, who's going to monopolize it. I just think it's the sentimental value of it. I understand.
Well, I mean, obviously, Heather, if you have conflicting feelings about where that ring should end up, you believe it should be with your side of the family or, you know, to your daughter ultimately or whatever, you know, but right now in your possession. I mean, stuff like that, if you don't say something, resentment can grow. You know, even if you don't have this confrontation that you're fearing right now, Jerry, if you're not talking to each other in 10, 15 years because you just feel like she stole from you or whatever, then that's a problem, too.
I'm going to guess in the will it didn't say who this ring should go to?
Nope.
No.
Okay. You know, let's see what the audience has to say, because they may agree with you, Heather. You have to address it. It's really bothering you. You feel like it should have been a conversation. Your sister didn't have the right to do that without your agreement on it. But they may see Jerry's side, too. You're going to start a fight, and this is going to lead to one thing after another, and is risking your relationship with your sister really worth it at this point?
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Always gets messy when things like this happen. Jerry and Heather. Heather's mother passed away last year, and Heather and her sister are finally getting around to going through all the items. There was no will. It was sudden, so there's not really said who gets what. And Heather's sister took the engagement ring that her mother had and gave it to her son and said, well, it's because he's the oldest grandchild. He should get that. And Heather disagrees. She says, well, our daughter was the only girl, so shouldn't it go to her instead? Now, the question and the argument between Heather and her husband, Jerry, are, does she make this a big deal and making a fight, or does she just keep her mouth shut and let it go because it's so touchy?
Well, I think that if you never have a conversation, then that's how resentment builds, right? Because you have a conversation, you may find that if you actually brought it up to your sister, it's not that big of a deal. It does not have to be an argument. It can just be, hey, let's talk about this. There's something here that's bothering me.
Not in every family, though. Not in every family.
Well, that's the thing is, like, you like to think even, you know, when you play nice in front of grandma and all that stuff. But the truth is when you finally get around to emptying out the house for your parents, a lot of times it's who got here first.
Yeah, whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Marlene, you're siding with Jerry?
A woman never buys her own engagement ring, so it should go to the son.
Yeah, thank you for the call. I get that, but you see this ring I'm wearing right here, Raven?
Sure.
This was my grandmother's wedding ring.
Okay.
I wear it every day of my life since she passed, okay? And I don't wear it because it's an engagement ring or anything like that. I do it because it's my grandmother. I was named after her, and it's my way to keep her with me.
Sure.
So I don't think it's a matter of who's going to use the engagement ring. I think it's a matter of keeping a piece of grandma with you. And that's a real question. Who does it go to?
Well, that's the thing, though. If grandma didn't decide, who is it up to decide after that? It's not up to either of them, really.
I just like to think I was her favorite.
Okay.
Yeah, right. So, whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. It's a couple's court. It's never easy when a parent passes away, there's no will, and then you have to divide the belongings. And that's exactly what happened with Heather and her sister. And Heather was not happy to find out that her sister, when they finally started going through the things, took their mom's engagement ring and gave it to her son. She's like, well, you know, he's the oldest grandchild, so he should be the one that gets it. But Heather said, her daughter is the only female in the family. Shouldn't she be the one to get the ring? And she's ready to start a fight, and her husband Jerry is not on board with that.
It's just amazing how all of us, we have our own perceptions of what is right and why something should be that way, right? And if we never have a conversation with each other, we never know what the other person's perspective is. Often, when somebody's health is failing, you see the best of people. And then right after, when they pass away, you see the absolute worst. This is how big arguments start.
That's why Jerry says, don't just let it go. It's no big deal. Let's move on. Don't ruin the relationship with your sister. But what do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Rich, whose side are you on?
I 100% agree with the wife. I think that the sister is the one who started the fight. The wife, if she doesn't say something, will never get over it. She doesn't have to make a big stink out of it, but she could have a conversation and say, before this is finalized, let's discuss it.
Yeah. And before I, you know, get upset about it, let's talk about it.
Denise, whose side are you on?
I'm on her side. She needs to get it resolved.
Is it about confrontation for you, or is it just about a conversation?
I don't think it's necessarily about getting the ring back. I think they both need to sit down and have a serious discussion. She should have never done that without her sister's approval, because that's just something that you don't do.
Hey, Lisa, what do you think? Whose side are you on?
I'm actually on nobody's side. I think it should be when the kids get older that they decide, A, whoever gets engaged first, and B, have the kids decide. Maybe neither one of them wants that wedding ring for themselves. So I think they should just wait and have the kids decide.
I don't know if I agree with that.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe have the kids fight to death.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. All it does is then it creates an argument later on for the kids.
It creates anticipation of this conversation that happens on the road. I mean, I get what you're saying. I mean, you'd like to think that everybody will be like, it's not a big deal. But what if they're both like, you know what? That's $3,000.
Right.
And neither of them care whatsoever because they barely remember grandma. Mm. And then they're just thinking about, well, you know, I want a new car or something like that at 17. I don't know. But you know what? Thanks for the vote, Lisa. Have a great day.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Heather, our audience agreed with you. It doesn't have to be hostile. It just has to be civil and say, you know, I really thought that mom's ring should have went to your daughter because she was the only girl. And it bothered me that you didn't even have that conversation with me. And see where it goes. Maybe it never even crossed her mind.
Yep, that's true.
Maybe. Just maybe you end up rolling around in the front lawn, socking each other in the face.
I guess we'll see what happens.
Yeah. I hope for everybody's sake that doesn't take place. Jerry, are you going to hide in the house, or are you going to be out there, you know, present for this conversation?
Whatever my wife wants. I mean, look, I don't think it's going to be a good scene, but, you know, she feels the need to do this. We've now taken it to public opinion. You know, she has my support.
Okay. If you have a problem, too, send an email, couplescore@annaandraven.com.
Issues like this with family can be tricky.
You hear a lot of stories about things that go wrong when people pass away and the items are inherited. And that's exactly what's going on with Heather's mom. She passed away suddenly last year, finally going through all the stuff with her sister, sorting through the mother's personal items. And Heather couldn't believe it. Her sister took her mother's engagement ring and gave it to her son. Now, her sister says that her son is the oldest grandchild. He should have it. But Heather believes that since her daughter is the only female grandchild, she should have it. Judge Marilyn Million and Judge John Schlesinger from the People's Court. Marilyn, let's start with you. Do you see a lot of this in court?
Yeah, but it's not as mystifying as people seem to think it's going to be. Heather is right to be outraged. The way you distribute property is very specific. First, you look to see if there's a will, and you distribute it exactly how the person who owned the property says to distribute it. If there is no will, then every state has very specific laws. That means that every piece of property belongs to both of them. Each of them have a proprietary interest in everything, which means neither of them keep it based on what they think it should be. It means you value it at a jeweler, and if somebody wants it, they buy the other person out. And if not, it gets sold and the proceeds get split.
Yeah, Marilyn's got the cold and clinical judicial take on this. Yeah, but if it's just family and they say, well, we don't really want to follow that, and they need to sort it out among themselves, I would say, I would look at this oldest male child and I would say, look, is he about to get married or engaged? Was he already shopping for an engagement ring?
But why
was trying to negotiate with the other?
Okay, so negotiate and get everybody to agree.
Right, to try to sort it out that way.
But
I don't think that he has any particular momentum or weight to take it just because he's the oldest
as you said, in the eyes of the law, that's meaningless. They each get a fractional amount of whatever is coming their way.
I think it's sad when it comes to things that are sentimental. You know, who knows how much the engagement ring is actually worth? And if it's not a matter of the price tag on it, but it's more of that was grandma's wedding ring and it's special and who gets it, that's when things get tricky because that's when feelings get hurt, like in this situation.
Yeah, but sometimes I think those feelings are amplified or made up. People want to get what they think is coming to them. If they get something in their head where they think, no, that's pretty, I'd like that. They'll come up with all sorts of reasons. I was closer. I cared for them more. I did this. Right. I did that. Just because I've seen this happen so many times. So let's say that there is supposedly a will, but people who immediately arrive, destroy that will, get rid of that will, don't honor that will or whatever. If you're somebody else that's in that family that feels that you've been wronged, how do you follow up with that? What course of action does a person take?
Well, you'd have to prove the existence of the will. So usually when there is a will, most states require two people to witness the signature. You know, let's hope you're close enough to your mother that she's told you there's a will, here's a copy. If nobody knows about the will but one person and they bury it, that's a crime because it's theft to all the other people who would have inherited under the will. They'll be, you know, wearing striped pajamas if it's ever found out.
I'm sure it happens.
So. Yeah, I'm sure it happens. You know, if you're an adult, it's part of living is trying to make sure you don't burden other people in your afterlife.
Right.
My only goal is to make sure my three girls will get along way after we're gone.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that should be, you know, your goal as a parent, not to leave people fighting about stuff later. It's very, very important. And that also includes a living will, a document where you say, if I can't make a decision for myself, this is my decision on whether or not I want to have artificial life support going or not. You shouldn't be leaving your children to make that decision for you. You know, there's a free copy of a living will online in every state. So there's just kind of no excuse to leave your family fighting.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven cash jackpot is $900 thanks to Discover Card. We can talk about how complicated other banks make it to redeem credit card rewards, or we can talk about how with Discover, you can redeem your rewards for cash in any amount at any time. I mean, talk about amazing. Learn more at discover.com/redeem rewards. Terms apply. Jack, you ready to play today?
I'm ready, and let's go.
All right, let's do it. Please ask Raven to leave the room.
Raven, please leave the room.
Sure, good luck, Jack.
All right, Jack, here's the thing. I want to give you this cash. Here's how it's going to work. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. When we're done, I'll bring Raven back in, ask him the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. We're in a soundproof studio. He can't hear us. You ready to play?
I'm ready. Let's go.
Number one, Brittany Griner was released from a Russian detention in a prisoner swap. Brittany Griner was in Russia playing what professional sport?
Basketball.
Number two, Jennifer Lawrence catching a lot of heat for claiming that she was the first female lead in an action movie. She played Katniss Everdeen in what movie series?
Hunger Games.
Number three, Will Ferrell's son is in a band and had his first concert. Will joined his son on stage and played the cowbell. In the best holiday movie ever, Elf, what actor played Papa Elf?
I'm not sure.
Number four, the third Wonder Woman film with Gal Gadot has officially been canceled. What does she use to get people to tell the truth?
Our crown.
And number five, the Brendan Fraser movie The Whale is out this weekend, along with the Bruce Willis action film and the Grinch horror parody The Mean One. What's the Grinch's dog's name?
Oh, my God. Spike?
You know, Jack, I had high hopes for you. Real high.
I did too.
I really thought, like, you were so confident. I'm like, here we go, here we go. And then you didn't go, but that's okay. Because we're gonna do this anyway. All right, Jack got 2 out of 5.
Not great, Jack. $900 in
the
one.
Not the best, not the best.
All right, number one, Brittany Griner was released from a Russian detention in a prisoner swap. Brittany Griner was in Russia playing what sport?
Basketball, of course.
Yes. Number two, Jennifer Lawrence catching a lot of heat for claiming that she was the first female lead in an action movie.
I mean, seriously, pay attention, Jay.
She played Kat.
I was going to call her J-Law.
What were you? Okay.
I think so. And it immediately felt weird.
And then I didn't know who you were talking about.
And I was like, what? No, but seriously, pay attention there, Jennifer Lawrence. Come on.
She played Katniss Everdeen in what movie series?
The Hunger Games.
Right. Number three, Will Ferrell's son is in a band and had his first concert. Will joined his son on stage and played the cowbell. In the best holiday movie of all time, Elf, what actor played Papa Elf?
Bob Newhart.
That's right.
You're a big fan.
I love Bob Newhart.
Me
Number
too.
Four, The third Wonder Woman film with Gal Gadot has officially been canceled. What does she use to get people to tell the truth?
Her lasso, and that seems like a shocking decision.
Number five, the Brendan Fraser movie The Whale is out this weekend, along with the Bruce Willis action film and the Grinch horror parody, The Mean One, which it makes me mad. I don't know why we need it. What was the Grinch's dog's name?
Oh, his name is Max.
Max is right.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Max. Jack. 5-2, and that's going to get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
My name is Jack, and I cannot beat Raven.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, bro. $1,000 Monday.